Wow.
That's a tough one there. Lexus, I think the Ducks hit it most of the way by the score being so tight throughout, but they just couldn't get that tying goal late.
The team did a good job of getting into the net, too, in this game. 35 shots on goal for the Ducks, but it just wasn't enough. Vancouver using their speed with their entrances, really controlling the neutral zone, too, for a lot of this game. And ultimately, I mean, those power plays, once again, just making a difference. Special teams, not an area that the Ducks really excelled in tonight, once again. And that was somewhat of the difference tonight, too. But it was a close one for the Ducks, with them hanging on in this one, too. And Canucks, another win under their belt.
Yep. Yep, they're a good young team, too. They have a nice future in front of them with head coach Rick Tocchet. Hey, Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey, so make it count. We're going to spend a couple of minutes here with Alexis. By the way, nice job tonight. Your first game for the Anaheim Ducks up here in the radio booth. Outstanding.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's been awesome.
I know it has. And we are going to just shoot the breeze here for a couple of minutes before we hand it off to Josh Brewster and Duck Call. So when you look at this entire hockey game here, is there anything else in particular in your mind that sticks out as a determining factor in how this game eventually winds up with Vancouver winning it by a goal?
I think the faceoffs were a big part of this game tonight. The Ducks doing well there, winning the faceoffs, nearly 55% there on the faceoffs. But Vancouver is just their speed. I mean, their guys, yep. You see the speed from Quinn Hughes on the defensive end, guys contributing on both sides of the game. And that is what ultimately I think the Canucks were able to control it a little bit more than Anaheim could.
Anyone in particular stick out for you on the Anaheim side when we watch this game tonight? Anyone catch your eye or have themselves a solid effort tonight? I know there were a few in this contest.
Well, I was really happy with Jackson Lacombe making his debut tonight. Yep. He also had three blocked shots in this game. And, you know, maybe not necessarily getting on the score sheet because it is your first game, kind of getting used to things and on the defensive end. But good to see some ice time for him as well, too. And then, obviously, Drew Helleson having his first NHL goal. That's a big thing that stood out for me, too, and very happy for Helleson to get that one.
Isn't it amazing that you have these two guys join us, and they end up being some major parts of one of their first couple of games with a hockey club? And I'm sure for Drew Helleson in particular, hasn't been here that long, to get that goal is a very, very special feeling, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I think he'll still be smiling a little bit tonight after this one, despite the outcome. And then another guy that I also think had a great game too, and he really stepped up, was Bo Groot. I mean, he had to step up on the line with the absence of Mason McTavish in that third period. So him getting some more experience, you could see that. I felt like he was very ready for his position tonight.
Yeah, you know what? He's been up here in the past, and he's kind of caught our attention too in what he is, his role on a hockey club like the Anaheim Ducks, but just impressive with his face-offs, his ability to cause some problems in the opposition defensive zone. And the face-off thing is a big thing, but maybe now with this opportunity in the last couple of games could put him in a situation to fight for a spot coming next year.
Certainly, it very much could. And he was really good with face-offs down with the goals this season. So I'm not surprised that he came in and still had that same attitude when he was going into those, despite being up at this NHL level. And another thing that he had stressed before the game to me is that he wanted to show off his speed. And he had to use that speed tonight, playing with Henrique and Terry in that later half of the game.
Yeah, and to me it looks like he plays a simple game. It's nothing really spectacular, is there? He just goes after it and plays hard, seems to be in a proper position most times. I don't know, we'll see, but I like him too. I think that he's going to be a plus for this organization moving forward and really get an opportunity maybe in next year's training camp to make this team and, again, be an integral part, because certainly there's some pieces that you need to make this team a lot better. Just one other thought. What do you think of Lukáš Dostal's performance tonight?
Dostal just continuing to have a great night in the net, too. I mean, he stopped quite a few shots, Vancouver having 36 shots, so saving 33 of those. But, you know, I think that it's just the experience that he keeps getting, and he's proven that he's very much ready to be up here at this NHL level, and I think he can be proud of himself once again.
And I think we both agree, let's hope that Mason McTavish is all right. I'd love to see him one more game against L.A., and I'm sure he'd like to play in that game, too.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Hoping that McTavish is all right after going out of the game with an upper body injury. And he's a strong guy. He's very tough, so hopefully it wasn't anything too serious, and he'll be back because we're going to need that toughness against the LA Kings.
Yeah, we are. Well, good job on everything tonight. So what's your schedule like now? Do you go back to the studios and have to work more time to have things ready for the fans that tune in later tonight and tomorrow?
Oh, not tonight.
Oh,
but
no.
The rest of the week, we will certainly have some light the lamp for you on DuckStream as well, especially as we look ahead to the final game of the season. Like you said in the broadcast, Steve, just crazy that we're already at the end of this season. It's been an amazing year, and I feel so lucky to be a part of this organization.
Now we're lucky to have you too. So it's been a real quick season, as Alexis says. I can't believe it's the last game, and that's coming up on Thursday. It's a 7 o'clock start. Hopefully you're here in person, Ducks fans, but if not, we'll have the broadcast at 6:30 and listen to everything on Ducks Stream. If you want to find out anything you want to know. Anything you want to know about the Ducks, the history, things like that. You'll hear interviews, you'll hear some comments after the game tonight. So we look forward to you joining us for that. I want to thank her again, Vic Pence, and of course, Ben Conroy, and back at our studio, Cash Hibbler at Skyview. We've all enjoyed the broadcast. Want to remind you about a couple of things here before we go. And one of them is Anaheim Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network. Been brought to you all season long and again tonight by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stop-at-nothing. One other thing. We all know it's a new year, which means a new season of My First with Mercury Insurance. Turn back time with our players as they share good, bad, and hilarious memories. Can't wait to hear those hilarious memories of their first games. To celebrate, Mercury Insurance and the Ducks want to give one lucky fan a chance to experience their first Ducks game. Tell us who you think deserves a chance to attend their first game with the Anaheim Ducks. If selected, the lucky recipient will receive four tickets to an upcoming Ducks home game, parking, dinner for four at the JD Club, and a Ducks home jersey. Go to www.anaheimducks.com/myfirstgame to make your nomination today. So again, thank you to everybody. Alexis Downey, just tune on that Duck Stream. You'll hear from her tomorrow, and you'll hear from us on Thursday night. For everybody involved in the broadcast, it's not over yet. Our coverage from Honda Center continues with Josh Brewster, and he has another edition of Duck Calls. I know he'll have a lot of things to say about this one. The final, Vancouver 3, Anaheim 2. For everyone involved in the broadcast tonight, thanks for listening. Drive home safely, and we'll talk to you Thursday right here at Honda Center on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
Sometimes you just need an uplifting song to brighten your day. And that's where TuneIn's curated Mix Light station comes in. Every day, we're playing a mood-boosting selection of today's best adult contemporary tracks from your favorite artists like Adele, Maroon 5, Coldplay, and more. Also, you can soundtrack your day with good vibes only. Check out TuneIn now.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Ducks Stream game.
Shoot, score!
Hear it here on TuneIn.
When that goal siren goes off, it just hits right. And now you can hear a different kind of buzzer, thanks to TuneIn's exclusive Jeopardy stations. Stream iconic moments from past episodes on Jeopardy Classic Station.
What if we organ?
Or right. Stream full episodes with modern champions on the flagship Jeopardy station.
Gotcha.
What is a parrot?
All right on the same device when you're listening to Duck Stream. Ready to test your knowledge? Buzz in right here on TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Here's a chance for Troy Terry getting it out for Hellas, and a drive, he scores! Drew Ellison with his first and his teammates Amaba out at center ice, and you know that's a feel-good moment. He's just tied up the game at 2-2.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, live from Honda Center, 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888 tonight. Canucks 3, Ducks 2. All right, it's a tough loss here at Honda Center, but I got to tell you, there was quite a bit to like. I think this was one of the most competitive games we've played in a while, for sure. And I think the Ducks took good advantage of facing a Canucks club that resides in a similar neighborhood in the standings. And, you know, they definitely tried to carry the play tonight. They started off a little bit hemmed in, but I thought very competitive performance tonight and some really, really good stuff to see. And the first one, his name is Jackson Lacombe from the University of Minnesota, coming in over 18 minutes of action tonight for the Ducks. I thought Jackson looked really good out there tonight. It's great to see his NHL debut. It's a big moment for him. And a friend of his growing up by the name of Drew Hellison, who we got in the Josh Manson trade, he scored his first NHL goal tonight. So huge moment for Drew Hellison. It was great to see. And then Benoit Olivier Grew comes back into our lineup. He played 18 games with us last season and spent the year in San Diego. But I got to tell you, this was a lot of hustle tonight. I say hats off to him. Benoit Grew, 3 minutes and 16 seconds of shorthanded ice time. If you noticed, in one of the later penalty kills, he was out there for the whole 2 minutes, basically. So he was looking good out there as well. We need some new blood in here. It's good to see some new blood in here. And glad to see Jackson Lacombe. I will assume he'll go back in the lineup on Thursday, I assume. Bo Grew, good stuff. Of course, Drew Hellison. And Nikita Nesterenko. You know, I really had to wonder whether this was a guy, the kid from Brooklyn, maybe getting a cup of coffee, And you know, maybe not much more, but tonight, gotta hand it to him. He's full of hustle. He likes to make things happen out there. It's his 8th NHL game of the season. Comes through with 5 shots on goal. His shots on goal totals have been very healthy. So Nikita Nesterenko, a nice addition late in the season. 714-940-2888. It's fan appreciation night here at Honda Center tonight. Were you at the game? Did you watch from home? What did you think of the Ducks? Again, I thought this was a very competitive performance by the Ducks. We will wait for updates on Mason McTavish. I don't know if I'll get one tonight, but certainly by Thursday we should know more. He left with an upper body injury. In the third period, he will not return. So we will see what happens with Mason McTavish. But a line that stood out for me tonight, and I'll tell you, there's a guy who really needed a point to feel better, I think, tonight, would have been Isaac Lundstrom. And tonight, he made a lot happen out there with Max Jones and Nikita Nesterenko. Unfortunately for Isaac Lundstrom, it's now no points in the last 20 games, if you can even believe that. He had a couple shots on goal tonight. But there was he created a lot of opportunities in the offensive zone tonight. You know, he's got that speed. And he even beat an icing tonight and made a play. But Jones and Nesterenko and Lundstrom, they had some pretty good chemistry for this small sample size. But I did like seeing that tonight. And I'd like to see better and better out of Isaac Lundstrom. It's a player who really has some wheels. And I hope that this offensive funk that he's in, you know, is rectified at the beginning of next season, because this is a guy who I still believe could be a big-time third-line center for this club here in Anaheim. 714-940-2888. It's a lot of playoff stuff to talk about tonight. Lots going on in the NHL. I can just tell you quickly here, since it's later in the night, I will just catch you up on a couple of the late games. Edmonton 2, Colorado 1. That's in overtime. So as it stands at the moment, Vegas won tonight. They beat Seattle. So in regulation. So Vegas is up to 109 in the Pacific. Edmonton is at 107. Each of them have a game left. Edmonton has the tiebreaker. So if they manage to tie Vegas on the last night of the season, it will be Edmonton who gets the Pacific Division. So just to let you know what happened later. We'll get back to some of the playoff action earlier in the night. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But tonight, like I said, great to see Drew Helison. Drew Helison and Jackson Lacombe, both a couple of kids from Minnesota. Helison, it's his first NHL goal. He makes a nice, quick shot from the blue line. Troy Terry feeds it to him, and he gets a screen. A little bit of help from Tyler Myers screening the goaltender, screening his own goaltender, Nikita Nesterenko, is out there for the screen as well. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but Bo Groom was also looking for screen opportunities in the offensive zone. So, good call up there with Bo Groom. Hopefully we will see Bo Groom again on Thursday night when we face the LA Kings in the freeway faceoff. Bo Groom, of course, drafted by the Ducks in the second round of the 2018 draft. He came out of the Quebec League, and again, we saw him 18 games last year. Hopefully he will be back in on Thursday night. So it's 3-2 tonight, Vancouver. It's Rick Tocchet's Vancouver Canucks. They sweep the season series, 4 wins, no losses. We don't like that, but I'll tell you what, I think Rick Tocchet was the man for the job here in Vancouver for the Vancouver Canucks. He's done a fine job ever since coming aboard in Vancouver. So they look to the future and will look to try to rectify some things from their end this summer. So they're now 19-12-4. The Vancouver Canucks are with Rick Tocchet at the helm. Anything else I got for you? Oh, of course. Jakob Silfverberg today was revealed that he is the Masterton Memorial Trophy nominee from the Anaheim Ducks. And Sophie had 4 shots on net tonight in just 13 minutes and 33 seconds of action. Again, I point to a great job he did on the penalty kill the other night against the Colorado Avalanche. And tonight, of course, he saw a lot of penalty kill time. And he's seen a lot of power play time as well. Aside from Adam Henrique, he's really our most savvy veteran. And it's good to see him finish strong this season. The points are not what they used to be for him. But at the same time, he's certainly a smart player who knows where to go, knows how to kill penalties, and knows how to make things tough on the opposition. Okay, in just a couple minutes here, I'm going to take a break now on Duck Calls. In just a couple minutes, you're going to hear from a mighty Duck, a very mighty Duck, by the name of Mike Babcock. You'll remember him, so we're going to talk about that run to the Stanley Cup Final in 2003, and of course, we'll talk about what he thinks of the current Ducks and the playoff race, and all those kind of things. It'll be great to talk to Mike Babcock right after this on Duck Street.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook and the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Join the Orange Alliance today and get the best benefits, including a 20% discount on concessions and beer in celebration of our 30th anniversary season. For a limited time, when you purchase your membership, you will score a one-of-a-kind 30th anniversary Mighty Ducks jacket. Place your deposit now at anaheimducks.com/OA. 30 years. Can you imagine? Well, I'll tell you something that happened 20 years ago. The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim appeared in the Stanley Cup Final and took it to a seventh game against New Jersey, as you all know. And my guest tonight was not only a Mighty Duck in Cincinnati, he was a Mighty Duck in Anaheim. And it is absolutely a pleasure to welcome Mr. Mike Babcock tonight to Duck Calls. You remember him well as the coach of the Mighty Ducks. And, of course, from his years in Detroit, won a Stanley Cup there, and in Toronto as well. And here he is now, Mr. Mike Babcock. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing great, Josh. Thanks for having me on. But it's hard to believe 20 years ago, though. Holy mackerel, you're aging me now.
Well, I know. It's a shocker. It's even more shocking than when I look in the mirror to think of 20 years. So, Mike, let's start right here, right now, in the current incarnation of the Anaheim Ducks. We've got some interesting young players. It's been a struggle of a season, but we've certainly got an undertone of optimism here. So why don't you tell me what you think of what you see with the Mighty Ducks, with the Ducks these days?
Well, I mean, tonight was another big night. Obviously, got down a couple early, battled back. Young players were real involved in the scoring. Team played hard. And then you look at Columbus, they got a point. You look at Chicago, they got a point. So you're set up better. My first year in Toronto, Lou Lamoriello was general manager. He did everything he could to make sure that we'd finish last to give us the best opportunity to get Austin Matthews. Now when you look at him at, 24, 25 years of age, he's a star in the league, absolute dominant player. Beaker does his work. I mean, there's no one that works harder, scouts better, grinds more. He's going to do his work, and he's going to set you up well for the future. And the toughest part for the fans is you got to be bad longer than you want, but there's a lot of optimism and a lot of good young players coming.
Yeah, indeed. And, as you know, Mike, and we're going to get to this in a bit, but things change quickly in the salary cap age. You know what I mean? I see the New Jersey Devils. They start to get what they thought they were going to get out of Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes, and things can change quickly here. So let's talk about some of the – I'll just name a few names here. Trevor Zegras, Mason McTavish, Troy Terry. What is your impression – of the guys who are up and coming here in Anaheim?
Well, I mean, you just look at tonight's game, the entries on the power play. Zegras kicking it out, making the play there. To me, they're involved in it. They're important in it. They're getting better. But the list of young prospects, when I ask around about the team that are coming, it is impressive as well. And when you think about how many you need to have a good core to be successful – and the problem you have as a fan is it takes longer than you want. You want the team to turn it around right away and be going in a new direction. But the bottom line is, unless you're bad for long enough, you're not going to be good enough to win the cup in the end. And when you look at, I remember the year we got Getzey and Perry in the first round. Tim Murray was a head scout. I mean, you want to talk about franchise changers in a second. Well, in order to do that, you need the picks. And in order to do that, to have the picks, you're probably not a very good hockey club. And so patience is the key. And often it's a lot longer than you want. But if you get good too soon, you probably aren't deep enough to win in the end.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, as you remember, Getzlaff and Perry drafted by the late, great Brian Murray. May he rest in peace. They were later first-round picks. So let's talk. You mentioned Beaker, as you call him, Pat Verbeek. Your paths crossed, of course, in Detroit. And so why don't you tell us about our GM and what, you know, he played a certain way. And he was also extremely, extremely productive player to score that many goals and not be in the Hall of Fame. That's an interesting situation. I mean, well over 500 goals. So, but when you if you think about his personality, the way he played, how do you think that translates for the Ducks going forward? It's going to be a big summer for the Ducks.
Well, he's just a worker. He's flat out a worker. He's not going to get outworked. You know, I was fortunate enough to get to know Beaker well when I was in Detroit, and he was in the management team. And when Kenny, when Stevie left to go to Tampa, and that took Beaker with him, that was a big, big loss for the organization. And then obviously now for him to be fortunate enough to be a general manager in the National Hockey League, his background is scouting. Obviously, he's a player, but his background in management is scouting. And he knows what it takes, and he knows how long it takes to build a franchise, because that's what he did in Tampa. And so he's going to put in the work, but no different than his determination on the ice, his willingness to get to the hard areas is going to be exactly the same. And you're talking about a good man, has good family, and does things right, and Anaheim's lucky to have him.
So, Mike, let's do this. I have to take a little trip down memory lane with you because, you know, that spring of 2003, still, you know, it's an electric memory here, you know, and it was such a dramatic seven-game series against the Devils. And, you know, Jiggy is one of the rare players who wins a Conn Smythe in a loss. And there was some late season additions and Oatsy and Steve Thomas. And why don't you just can you take me back down memory lane here to that spring and that club? What stands out for you?
Well, I mean, you talked about it already, Brian Murray. Brian Murray is just an absolute gentleman, first class general manager. He made great changes. The team had missed the playoffs. He was the coach by 25 points the year before. We came to camp with our nucleus. He knew we weren't good enough. He went out and added Niedermeyer. He added Steve Thomas. Steve Thomas, I think, got 12 goals down the stretch heading into the playoffs for us. He added a guy named Ose Lynch that ended up being an absolute star for us and quarterback the offense of our team, got us going. But I mean, guys like Ruchin and Correa and Oates and Sikora were huge, huge parts of the team. We were fortunate to have six really quality D-men, and obviously Jiggy and Gerbs and Nett, they didn't give up much. So in the end, you know, we were fortunate. We swept Detroit in the first round, if I'm not mistaken. I think we beat Dallas in six, swept many. And then, like you said, lost in Game 7, you know, the heartbreaker. Anytime you get to Game 7, you won 15 games in the playoffs, you've done something. It's heartbreaking. On the other side of it, it's we lost a real good general manager in Lou Lamoriello and Pat Burns, and Brodeur's no slouch himself.
Yeah, indeed, and it was an electric time here. You know, I'm looking, Mike. I'm looking out here, and of course, I see the number nine, Paul Kariya, hanging from the rafters. Tell me what it was like coaching Paul Kariya. You know, the moment he got rocked by Scott Stevens, he gets up, he scores a goal. You know, that was just another part of the legacy out of all he had done. He was a kind of a quiet guy, it seemed, from a distance here. Tell me about your experience working with this Mighty Ducks legend.
Well, obviously, another real good person, a hard worker, beyond hard worker. Like you say, a quiet guy, didn't share a whole bunch, but he came to work. He set a tone with his work ethic. And, you know, I remember that hit like it was yesterday. I mean, you think about a guy getting hit like that, they'd never let him come back, Olin Mackerel, today. And so that's just how things were different. But for him to get up and come back and give us a chance, you know, that's all you could ask for. That's what leadership's about. You know, it was unfortunate he exercised the option to leave the following year. I thought that really affected the franchise. But a good man and had a huge impact on the franchise.
Well, Mike, I'm gonna stay back in time for just a couple minutes here, and then we're gonna go back. We're gonna come back to present day. But it really strikes me when I think of when you came into the league. It was the last couple of years of what a lot of folks call the dead puck era, and then we had the long lockout. We lose a season, and hockey has to change. And you know, you're a perfect guy to ask this about because you come into the NHL in 2002, and you know, let's reflect back on these last couple decades. How has the game changed, and what aspects of the change do you like the most and maybe don't like the most? I mean, what do you think about the way the game has changed and the way that the game is played now and the state of the game right now? What do you think about these last two decades and all the change that we've seen?
Well, obviously, I mean, change is so important. Each generation's got to get better and better. That's just the way it goes. You know, I look back just over my coaching career, and you think about what could win a Stanley Cup in 08 wouldn't be good enough a couple of years later. What could win an Olympic gold medal in 10 couldn't have won an Olympic gold medal in 14. You got to keep evolving, and that's what happens. Obviously, during that lockout, when they took a lot of the clutching and grabbing out and allowed the game to be faster, and then in the end, the players got bigger and faster and stronger and more fit. The pace is just through the roof now. When you look at young players coming in the league, they're more advanced physically, probably more advanced mentally as well, but definitely physically, and they can fly up and down the rink. I watched two games here tonight. And I watched Colorado and Edmonton. You want about to talk about a track meet. And, you know, teams that suffered through to get good players, absolute track meet out there, flying up and down without any clutching and grabbing. I think that's the biggest change. But there's no question, the game's fantastic. It's exciting. There's tons of good young players. And I think it's a great game for the fans.
So, Mike, I've got to ask you, since we've got this kid, Trevor Zegras, here, he's a very charismatic young man, and as you've seen, now look, we've seen Kent Johnson pull a Michigan goal. We've seen Trevor Zegras do it. We've seen Andrei Svechnikov did in Carolina, et cetera. What is your reaction to that kind of showmanship? Because I'll tell you, from my perspective, this is the entertainment business, and if you can pull that stunt, I'll take it any time, but maybe not everybody feels the way I feel. What do you think about Trevor Zegras and his personality and the willingness to uncork moves like that?
Yeah, like the bottom line is obviously elite skill, and I'm all for it, and I think it is a game and showmanship. But in the end, you're measured by championships and success. And so when you look at all the great players over the years, and that's in the end how you're going to be measured, Getzlaff, who's a huge duck, he'd tell you it's about winning cups. It's about winning medals. It's about winning championships. That, to me, is what it's all about. And so the individual skills, I think, are spectacular. We want guys to score highlight goals. It's so exciting. That's what brings the fans into the building. In the end, though, it's going to be about winning, and that's what your general manager is all about.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about the present-day playoff situation. I want to talk. I want to get your who you're most impressed with in the East and who you're most impressed with in the West. In the East, of course, we have Boston looking like a freight train running downhill. But who knows? The playoffs, the animal changes its stripes a bit, right? So who knows what's going to happen? And in the West, you have a little more wide open field. So let's start in the East right now, Mike. Who do you think in the playoffs will be the creme de la creme?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about that, because
you know, my son's been working out in Ottawa, so I've watched a lot of the East, because when Ottawa's playing, I'm watching them. And so I got a better handle actually on the East than I do on the West. And I mean, there's real good teams, obviously, out there in Carolina and New Jersey and New York. But for me, the class of the league, without any question, on that side is Boston and Toronto. I really like what Toronto's been able to do since the deadline. I like the way they play. I like the depth on the back end. I mean, you could say the same in Boston. The depth on the back end's elite. They got high-end players. They're exciting to watch. I mean, Pastrnak, you look at Matthews and Marner in Toronto, stars. And then I think out west, you know, I talked about the game tonight. I think there was and I'm not trying to take anything away, Dallas or Vegas or any teams like that, but the Oilers to me and the Avalanche, and the Avalanche didn't have a lot of their players were out tonight. The injuries, McCarr was out, but those two teams, I really believe that Ken Holland, when he added Ekholm at the deadline, changed that franchise. I think that's a lot better hockey club than it was. And, I mean, it's always hard to count out the champs, especially if they get any help at all. So those two teams look like the best in the West. Now, I would normally never talk about this. If I was in the game, I wouldn't be talking about it. But now that I'm not, I guess I can be a fan.
Absolutely, you have permission to be a fan. So listen, Mike Babcock, hockey fan, let me ask you this. I had a guy by the name of Jeremy Roenick on the show recently, and he's basically telling me he thinks McDavid is already the greatest player who ever lived. Now, I just think it's interesting for debate, but do you think that McDavid is now in the discussion of the greatest players of all time? Is he up there with Orr, Howe, Yzerman, Lemieux? Do you think he deserves that kind of consideration at this point, or is it too early?
Well, you know, I said to you earlier today already on this call, to me, it's in the end, it's about championships. But right. When you talk about Howe and you talk about Gretzky and you talk about Orr, you know, those are the guys I remember the best. There was great players before them, obviously. I mean, his individual skill level, the pace that he plays, what he does, how he dominates year after year, his work ethic, his determination. I mean, it's not equaled in the game right now for sure. But I can tell you right now, he wants to put his name on the Stanley Cup. He wants to win some medals for Canada. That's what he wants to do, because he wants to be a winner. And that's what all the players in the game and everyone in the game thinks about, is winning. Is his skill set off the charts? Absolutely. Is he beyond exciting? No question. What I like best about him is how hard he works, how determined he is, the work he does off ice to be as good as he is. I think he's a real good example for the rest of us.
Mike, I'm gonna finish with this. Talk to me for just a moment here about your experience in Toronto, because everybody talks about the spotlight when you're in Toronto. Now, look, I mean, you know, you have big achievements in this league, but what was the feeling in the air during your days in Toronto? What do you take out of there in terms of how was it different to be in the Mecca of hockey?
Well, I loved it, to be honest with you. You know, it was 4.5 hours from my home in Michigan, so that made it easy for my wife. The franchise, we finished dead last my first year. We got Austin Matthews. We got better every single year. It was exciting. When I signed an 8-year deal there, I knew I probably wasn't going to finish the deal. That's just the way hockey is, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed every second of it. I enjoyed the city. I enjoyed the fans. You know, I really think Toronto's set up. We had kids then. They're now men. I think before, when we used to play, Matthews and Marner weren't the best players on that side. Now they are. I think they're set up to have success, and they got good depth. So the fan base there will go crazy if they can ever get on a long playoff run, and I think they're set up to do that.
All right, Mike. Well, listen, I very much appreciate your joining me on Duck Calls tonight. And since we're here in Anaheim, and I know it's 20 years, which I still can't believe, but is there anything you'd like to say to Ducks fans before we sign off tonight?
Yeah, just be patient. Be patient with the team. The more draft picks they get, And the more they do a good job scouting, the better your franchise is going to be for a long period of time. And in the end, you want a chance to win cups. That's what it's all about. And you've won one out there already. You'd like to win more. So just get behind Beaker, and he'll do a heck of a job for you.
There you go. Get behind Beaker. Mike Babcock, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me on Duck Calls tonight. I really appreciate it.
Josh, good talking to you. Have a good night.
All right, there he is, Mike Babcock. Let's take a little break here on Duck Calls, 714-940-2888. You give me a call, 714-940-2888. Give me a call in my last segment, and we will talk NHL, Ducks, playoffs, whatever you'd like. I'll be right back.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
He delivers the first foray, a couple of rights.
Nothing pushes the momentum of a hockey game forward like a good fight. And if you love that drama, you'll love listening to Court TV right on TuneIn, where you can stream crime news and live trials in audio form. Plus, you can also stream top news headlines brought to you by Newsy. TuneIn is the destination for your Ducks and the best place for crime news and breaking headlines. Hear it all here.
The Stanley Cup Playoffs Bracket Challenge presented by GEICO is back.
The best time of the year has finally arrived. The quest for the hardest trophy to win in sports has officially begun.
It's time to see if you can predict the playoffs. Create and join leagues to test your skills against friends and family to see if you can predict the next Stanley Cup champion. 16 teams. One cup. Sign up now at NHL.com/bracket.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Rise up, Ducks fans. The freeway face-off is this Thursday at 7 p.m. Bring the energy and your orange gear and get rewarded through our free fan loyalty program, The Mighty. Plus, the first 10,000 Ducks fans in attendance will receive a free rally towel presented by Michelob Ultra. Get your tickets now at AnaheimDucks.com/Kingsgame. AnaheimDucks.com/Kingsgame. All right. Great hearing from Mike Babcock. Who could ever forget the spring of 2003 around these here parts, I'll tell you that. So close. So close. Jiggy laying it on the line. It was so great to see Jiggy and you know, Rob Niedermeyer and the other guys from the 2003 club. Sammy Paulson, you know, be rewarded when we managed to pull it off in 2007 and win the cup. Just great memories, and Babcock had a big impact here. So, a good man, and really appreciate his joining the show. All right, let's talk a little bit of comings and goings here in the NHL. I want to point out a couple of milestones. If you want to hop in on this segment, 714-940-2888. Joe Pavelski and Claude Giroux both hit 1,000 points on the same night. This is last night, and so it's the first time in league history where multiple players hit quadruple digits. What a great career. Joe Pavelski, 13 seasons in San Jose. He's played 4 seasons with Dallas now. 7th-round draft pick in one of the deepest drafts in all NHL history. 7th-round draft pick. Can you imagine? Now, Claude Giroux, his 1,000th point comes with Ottawa, and he matched his all-time goal total with 34 goals. That is his all-time high, and he's already matched it. He's got another, how many games left? He's got one more game left, so who knows? It might be a career high for him. He's certainly done the job in Ottawa, 78 points on the year, 34 goals, as I said, which matches his career high. He was a first-round pick in 2006. Erik Karlsson, first defenseman to 100 points since Brian Leetch did it in 1991-1992. So Erik Karlsson, you know, I think he's careening headlong into the Norris Trophy. It's an interesting trophy. I have to wonder whether there should be a trophy for the best offensive defenseman, kind of the Selke in reverse, right? For the forwards, you have the Selke for the player who excels in all aspects of the game, or best defensive forward. It's an interesting, hard trophy to pin down. But it might be interesting to see whether the Norris could be best defenseman and then have another, you know, have the Bobby Orr trophy for the most points by a defenseman. I wonder if that would clear things up. But Erik Karlsson, 100 points, first time since 91-92 when Brian Leetch did it with 102. Mike Babcock mentioned, of course, Austin Matthews. He hit the 40-goal mark for the fifth time, if you can believe this. So Pat LaFontaine did it seven times, Joe Mullen seven times, John LeClair five times. Those are your other U.S.-born players who have ever hit the 40-goal mark five or more times. So hats off to Austin Matthews. His career just he's really, you know, when you think about it, he's really just coming into his prime now, you know, which is a little bit scary. I mean, he's just maybe a year or two into his prime years. So that's a little scary when you think about the kid from born in California, raised in Arizona, Mr. Austin Matthews. So we'll see what the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to do. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they're locked in now to second position in the Atlantic. They will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, and that will be a great series. So let me just catch you up on some scores in case you missed anything. The Golden Knights tonight, these are the late games, of course. Golden Knights, I mentioned this earlier, 4-1 over the Kraken, and the Oilers 2-1 over the Avalanche. So just to recap this, in the Central, Colorado 105, two games left. Dallas 104, two games left. Minnesota 102, one game left. All right, in the Pacific, since I mentioned Vegas, Vegas is at 109 with one game left. Edmonton at 107 with one game left. Edmonton holds the tiebreaker between the two of them. Los Angeles is locked in at third right now. Seattle could tie them at 102. If that happens, Seattle holds the tiebreaker. If they win their last game, they hold the tiebreaker. So all this will change minute by minute. So to get you the rest of the scores, so it's the Oilers 2, the Avalanche 1. This is in Denver in overtime tonight. That's a big 2 points for the Edmonton Oilers. And as Mike Babcock mentioned, Matthias Ekholm is a very big addition, and we will see what happens. But in the overtime session tonight, it's Evan Bouchard at 150 of the overtime session. He gives Edmonton the victory. Jets 3, Wild 1, so the Winnipeg Jets, they clinch. They are the final wild card spot in the Western Conference. They have 95 points. Calgary is out. Nashville is out. They can't catch them. The Blackhawks beat the Penguins tonight 5-2. What do you know? So, Blackhawks are at 58 with one game left. The Ducks are at 58 with one game left. And Columbus, they lost in overtime tonight, so they gain a point. They're in the final spot with the most lottery balls at the moment with 57 points. Couple more scores here for you. Bruins 5, Capitals 2, no surprise there. Bruins just continue to roll along. Bruins are up to 133 points like it's nothing at this point. Leafs 4, Lightning 3, the game meant nothing. Hurricanes 4, Red Wings 1. Carolina is at 111 points. They have one game left. New Jersey is at 110. They beat Buffalo, eliminating them. They beat Buffalo 6-2. So it's New Jersey at 110, Carolina at 111. The Rangers are third. They will not catch either of them. But the Rangers are locked in at third place. So there is quite likely a Battle of the Hudson on the horizon unless something changes on the final night of the season for the Devils in Carolina. And if Carolina faces the Rangers, good luck. They haven't had any luck against them lately. And, of course, they were eliminated by the Rangers in the playoffs last year. And then finally, I think I mentioned the Golden Knights 4, the Seattle Kraken 1. So it's all going to go down to the wire. Thank you so much for listening to Duck Calls. I cannot believe another season is about to end. Thursday night, where else should you be? You should be at Honda Center, AnaheimDucks.com for tickets. And I want to thank you so much for listening to Duck Calls. Thank you to Mike Babcock. I will talk to you Thursday. Let's get out of here. Nice night here at Honda Center. Very competitive. Competitive job by the Ducks. Just couldn't get that extra goal to tie it late. But we got some newcomers in the lineup. Hopefully we'll have more to talk about on that front on Thursday. Have a good night.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, Today's Hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9 and when an argument
plus
is
ad-free music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
See every Honda Center event from the best seats with annual club seats or a luxury suite. From UFC fights to family shows and Ducks games to concerts and comedy, there's something for everyone. Learn more about the benefits of the suite life at HondaCenter.com/luxury.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future.